The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
Kia ora koutou. This is Jane from The Real Pod. I'm joined by Duncan and Alex, and we've got a little bit of an announcement for you. Actually, it's a bit of an announcement.
For us. This is the biggest it gets.
It's the realest of real news. Should we play the sting? Is that weird? Let's play the sting. We've been doing this pod for 8 years. Coming up 9 years. And when we started out, we were just fresh-faced youngins, just passionate about reality TV, and now we're just old-faced oldies.
Well, Alex is still fresh-faced.
She is still extremely fresh-faced, that's true.
I was so young when we started that people were emailing Duncan worried he had employed a 12-year-old.
That's like both a joke and true. Like, there was invocation of child labour laws regularly. I think there was you looked very young, but then there was a particular picture of you used where you looked like from intermediate, not even high school.
And I never met you, Jane.
Never met you. This podcast brought us together. I've told the story so many times that for our very first pilot episode, which cancelled, we would be cancelled for because it was just basically judging the contestants of the Bachelor NZ purely on their photos and bios.
Still a great format.
And Duncan, you know, he brought us together at my house just to introduce us, sat down and never left the pod. He was never supposed to be part of this.
Never invited. Never left.
But here he still is. Anyway, at the time, there was so much great reality television. We were drowning in it. We really were. And for the next 8 years, we've been in various states of drowning in it. Various states of not so drowning in it. We've also run out of time a little bit, haven't we?
We should just say what's going on.
We're shutting down The Real Pod.
When you put it like that, it sounds like it can't possibly be true, but it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is, and it's a funny thing because I think we have all felt the pressure of how much telly there is to watch when networks are stretching over 2, 3, 4 episodes a week.
Oh, it's the TV network's fault.
They can't
content themselves with just a simple 45-minute episode
each week. The
Bachelor,
it used to be it was 1 or 2 episodes, right?
Yeah.
And that was it, and we could just sit with it and like really get into it.
And we didn't have the same sort of pressures on our time then either, you know? The spin-off was literally a telly blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1.5 FTEs. But now it's just, we're basically drowning and persistently have the feeling that we're not doing any of our day jobs, let alone a weird job, The Real Pod, to the level we want. And that's been sort of nagging and gnawing, and we've tried things like Substack and Remember When and the newsletter, and it's all been great, except that it hasn't solved the fundamental of it. It's kind of breaking us.
In hindsight, maybe we shouldn't have been like, maybe we should fix this work problem with more work.
Keeps more work.
It's an extremely Real Pod way to do things. And the problem is that I know it might not seem like it, but we give 100%. So with Remember When, we were like, oh, I don't know, 10 minutes of research, jump behind a mic, and that quickly morphed into Alex in particular disappearing down
3 a.m. on a thin Lizzie message board, like just going to places, you know, I never thought I'd go. But that's also to say, you know, it's given us a lot of ideas and inspiration, and we're not disappearing. You know, we will be channeling that energy into new projects and things next year. So that's also exciting, you know. We might return.
We won't return, but we are all still at the spin-off and colleagues and like to chat and like to type.
We're all still here. So I know there's going to be lots of questions from everyone, one of them being, when is the last episode? 2039, no, it's going to be on the 29th of November is when it's going to be. We're going to have a lunchtime live stream, so pop that in your diary. Make sure you've got a long lunchtime booked for that day. If you can't join us, it will be available to watch afterwards. And you can jump in there. We're going to sort of reminisce about some of the highlights of our 8 years.
Remember when the real pod.
And also invite you guys to like jump in the chat and ask us some questions, and hopefully we'll be able to answer
them. I was just thinking
them.
We could wear like blazers and make it look like a business meeting so people can just do it, like watch it at work.
That's actually pretty good. Just, I don't have a blazer.
I'm just watching a webinar with these serious people.
We can get webinar as a key graphic on the screen if you like. And maybe some graphs of stocks and things.
Yeah.
If you work at a serious corporate with a boring sounding name, we are available to be sponsored for the final episode. So we can have your logo to kind of complete the mise en scène. Is that right, Filminist?
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
Obviously, we are so grateful to everyone who's ever listened to this podcast, anyone who's ever been a part of it. I mean, it's launched Mad Chapman's career. She was a producer at one point, and now she's editor of the spin-off, so that's great.
Jonathan of the Beths, of course. He'd be nowhere without us.
That's true.
The Beths wouldn't be supporting the National on a US arena tour without the real pod.
Paul Williams? Oh, my God. The list goes on.
That's true. No Kid Sister without the real pod. Jordan from the Bachelor probably wouldn't have made the Bachelor Games if he hadn't been famous for being
such a
Vel. That actually might be true.
That's true. Oh, we've got to save all this for the webinar, guys.
Oh, yeah. Save it for the webinar.
Oh, it's still nice is the problem.
It is.
I know. And that's the thing is I think we feel a lot of different feelings, right? It is like we love each other and we love the cornies and we love what we do, but it's just time. You know, it's that weird thing and we all just feel it. And it's sad.
I know that the corner is going to live on in some form. So that's up to you guys. It's pretty much user-generated at this point, has been for years, so there's absolutely no reason why you guys can't keep doing what you've been doing and providing just amazing support and giggles for each other. You know, we'll be in and out, keeping an eye on things, you know, just to check in, see how everyone's doing, see if Susie Alexander's made a comeback at any point. She's changed her profile photo, by the way, on Facebook. So
real news.
Less likely that she's a bot with a changed profile photo. A real person who just thought that we'd gone to crap these days.
Let's not dwell on Susie Alexander. She's entitled to her wrong opinion.
Maybe we can blame Susie Alexander for our very long, drawn-out, slow downfall.
That wouldn't be fair.
The other questions we're going to have, there's a link in the Substack email that lives with this episode, so just head to that and that will answer your questions. I know a lot of people will be interested to know what's happening with their subscriptions and so on. Won't go into the deets here. Just go to the Substack and look at it there. Also put a link in the episode description if you're listening to this on a regular feed. That's kind of it. I mean, there's no point in us going on and on and on, is there?
I'm sweating.
We're cornies and we're sorry.
We are.
Sorry so much. But thank you for the memories as well, you know.
They were actually great.
They were great memories. And we've still got a few more weeks of memories to build here. And we're bloody well going to do it. So thank you.
Going out with our favourite show, My Kitchen Rules.
Season. We don't even know.
I think five. We've been around longer than my kitchen.
That's a perfectly real pod way to end this recapping show. I don't think I've ever watched before.
Hey, thank you. We're sorry so much. We know this is going to be hard news for some of you, but we hope you understand and we love you more than you will ever know.
And if you really miss the real pod, you can listen to The Fold.
This is Real, play the music.
Stop it.
Let's do the potty.
Milk loan to real pod.
What? Wow. Yeah. See, this is why we have to stop, because
otherwise I'll start doing that.
Duncan will start doing that. Hey, thanks for listening to that wee announcement, but we're here now in the episode proper. Just pretend like everything is normal.
There's no big
elephant in the room.
I'm not on the verge of tears. No. I'm smiling.
Completely normal. Kia ora, welcome. This is The Real Pod. I'm Jane Yee, joined by Duncan Grieve and Alex Casey. We're here to recap our favourite reality show that is on at the moment, TVNZ, on Monday and Tuesday nights, which is MKRNZ.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Actually, haven't checked if anything. Oh, no, because it's TVNZ. Yeah, no, that's definitely true, what I just said. Mm. Yeah. How are you doing, guys?
Oh. I'm good. I'm actually great. It's great. It's fine. We don't need to dwell on it.
Is it sunny? It looks like it's sunny where you are.
It's beautifully sunny. Christchurch has turned it on. How is it in Auckland?
It is also beautifully sunny.
It's morning in Morningside and it's lovely.
Wow.
Yep. To be clear, it's morning here too.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know it's kind of confusing because there's like a different island and stuff.
I thought, okay. They should tell you that when you get on in New Zealand.
I think they do.
It's still morning wherever you go.
Local time is.
I think the speakers from the pilot announcing like where the local time is, and that is just like slightly behind 1A, Duncan. So you probably miss it when you're sitting in your 1A
you know,
seat.
I still haven't done 1A. Oh, maybe I had one.
Yeah.
I had one.
I think you've had two, to be honest.
I might have had
you heard
two.
About the actually, after we talked about search engine last week, I listened to way more search engine while I was gardening over the weekend.
Oh my gosh, I did that last weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you listen to the one about coffee on aeroplanes?
No, I listened to the one about the war.
Wow. That honestly is so you two summed up.
I don't know if this is true in New Zealand. Maybe this is a story. Copyright me. If so, that you're like not supposed to drink the coffee on planes because the water is all kept in like a tank that they never clean, and it's the same water that they use to that you use to wash your hands in the bathrooms. And they say actually don't wash your hands in the bathrooms either, take bottled water. And they say if you watch, you see the pilots when they go to the toilet, they take bottled water with them to wash their hands with because the water is that gross. They don't even wash their hands with it.
I nay seen a pilot go to the toilet on a plane.
Yeah, I assume they just did it in a like a big
maybe they use those ones right at the front next to 1A. You've probably seen a few pilots go to the toilet.
Have I ever?
Hey, that's really interesting information.
I don't know, but it might be like, you know how America is just crazy, you know, like it might be a crazy America thing. And I guess you have longer haul flights more regularly, like, you know, in New Zealand probably they just fill up use the tap at the airport, fill up a chili bin.
Yeah, but maybe they're not cleaning out, maybe they're just like diluting the germies that are in the bottom, you know, like they don't go through the whole tank. They've got to empty, clean and refill if they're not doing that. I think something you're really onto something there, Alex. Can you please find out? Now that you've got all this time on your hands.
It's going to really free me up to do the work that matters.
Any other real news? Oh, you got corned at the cords.
I got corned at the cores. And it was the best experience ever. The cores live at Hagley Park was just fantastic. It was like Irish Christmas in the park. there were three opening acts. Jermaine, which I did not know. Tony Childs, who I did not know but listened to and still did not know. Natalie Imbruglia, who was hilarious. And then the Cause. But I had bought a Cause cap. I was very determined to buy a piece of merch. There was like abysmal merch apart from this one cap, I thought. And I bought the cap and I was in the line for the port-a-loo. Cap on. World off, focused on the port-a-loo.
Do you wash your hands in the...
This is actually something else I want to talk about. Actually, I think this is a story. This is copyright me as well.
She's searching for a pen.
I'm searching for a pen. Okay, hold on. I'll talk about the corny interaction first, then I'll go back to the port-a-loo thing. And I was waiting in line, but it was that confusing thing where there's like a whole row, like a corner, kind of a right angle of port-a-loos and a couple of lines, and it's not clear who's... like what jurisdiction each line is covering. So I was like very focused and quite intense on being stressed about that. And this lovely woman came up to me and went, excuse me, I'm a Core. And I thought she was going to say, I'm a Course fan and I love your hat. Which, like, thinking about it, everyone in that whole park was probably thinking, because we were all Coors fans and I was rocking the hat, but I was so focused on the toilet, I was not expecting a corny interaction. So when she went, "I'm a corny and I'm sorry," I literally gasped, and then I just went, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then I started trying to talk about my kitchen rolls, and it was really, I don't know, I just want to apologize to Caitlin. Like, I hope it was okay for you and you don't regret it. And we took a nice photo together, but I also would like to apologize for my open ventriloquist mouth in that photo.
I love the photo. Also,
I like the photo because you look like the fan. Like,
yeah, but that's, yeah, but I am.
You are the fan. But it's the composition really says, "I found her."
But yes, it was a very sweet interaction, and I was just genuinely like very bowled over by the whole exchange when I was overwhelmed for the Portaloos. What actually I was thinking about is, it's crazy how we've just accepted Portaloo culture now that there's no water in the taps and it's just hand sanitizer. And you just sanitize your hands and walk out. There's no washing anymore. None of the Portaloos have functioning taps.
Oh.
But did they ever?
Yeah, they had a little foot pump situation.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And they've still got the foot pump there. And I've noticed this the last few times I've been to like outdoor stuff. You pump the thing, no water comes out, and then it's like, oh, it's just hand sanitizer.
But to be honest, I assume that hand sanitizer is better than water and soap. But, feels okay. More like scouring
but what if
and
you've
industrial.
Got,
like you get
what
a whole
if you've
layer.
Got
things on your hands?
what if you've got debris?
Debris?
Debris.
Oh, is that? That must be a different. That must be something that doesn't happen to chaps.
It's just this. I don't know. And I was just like, "Are we okay with this?" Like,
I'm not okay with it.
Sometimes you need a stream of water.
Take your water bottle in with you, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's the lesson of this podcast.
But do you really want your water bottle? The mouthpiece of the water bottle being open and available to Portaloo germs at any time. So you now have to carry two water bottles, one for drinking from and one for hand washing. Maybe we can invent some sort
of... It's so crazy that this podcast wasn't a huge commercial success.
I know, it still boggles my mind. Well, I just came up with an invention, right? Some sort of hand washing camel pack type situation.
Yeah,
the festy, for the festy rounds. I was trying to think of a name, but there was nothing. Your festy friend.
But you couldn't get it through security because you can't take liquid. See, this
your plain pal and your festy friend, you know?
Well, there you go.
So copyright, eh?
Yeah, anyway, not to say I had debris on my hands.
But if you were to find yourself in that situation.
It's just a lot of debris on hands.
I thought when you said that the person came up to you, who was it, Caitlin, came up to you and said, "I'm a core," that you were going to say you thought it was one of the cores, just "I'm a core."
I'm one of the cores.
"I'm a core and I love your hat and just doing some guerrilla some guerrilla marketing."
You've got the insider gossip about the cores at the Koru Lounge, right?
Oh, all I've got is a sort of a blurry photo of them in the background.
Okay, so we had a high-level source inside the Koru Lounge at the same time as the cores. Did not approach, but did get some vital information, including that Jim Core was reading Matthew McConaughey's autobiography. And that's just really kept me going.
Is he the one who's got, like, is he sort of not necessarily in favour of vaccines? Like, he's the problem core, right?
Is he a problem core?
I think he is. Let me look at, like, let me come out. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
I feel like reading Matthew McConaughey's bio kind of tease up with some of those attitudes somehow, you know, that he might have some dicey ideas.
He also looks like the guy from the Manic Street Preachers, doesn't he?
Which one? Interchangeable. Like Richie?
The singer, I think. No.
Okay, he's got a personal view section to his Wikipedia, is always a good sign.
Wow.
He's a member of the 9/11 Truth Movement.
Oh, no.
And operates a website on which he writes about the New World Order.
Oh, my God.
Following the death of Osama bin Laden, Core maintained that Bin Laden had actually died in 2001.
Oh, he's hardcore problem core.
Oh, that's really crazy.
He opposed lifting the ban on abortion. I mean, Irish are always going to have odd. Yeah, he's definitely got some views, man. I reckon that's not even the half of it.
Wow.
But, you know, just shut up and play the drums, old Jim. You're all right.
He's not on the drums.
Well, what? Oh, that's right. Okay, can you just cut that out and make it sound like Jane said it?
I didn't say that. I never said that. Don't do that to me.
Damn, that's terrible.
I've got an idea. for one of our last episodes. Could we feed an AI machine a whole bunch of RealPod episodes and get them to make an episode?
That's a really good idea.
Probably.
Does that exist?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I would love to hear what
we've actually been doing that for the last year and none of you even realised.
It does sort of have that feel. Like we're just reusing the same plain water to make these episodes.
Hey, you had talked about a real life interaction. I forgot to tell you this last week, but I was recognised from being on the telly. Well, I think it was from being on the telly. Hard to say, but I was at the gas station and it wasn't my usual lady. And she was like, "Do I recognise you from something?" And I said, "Yes. Treasure Island."
No.
It's just like, oh, that's. But no one ever just goes, "Oh, you're the lady from Treasure Island." You know? She's just like.
But you don't look bedraggled enough.
She's like, "You need to give me the information I need to put the pieces of this puzzle together."
You should carry a buff at all times, you know, and make them guess.
Also on Portaloos and the pumps, the only time I've ever needed physio was when I was camping over a summer and there was a Portaloo and I used the pump and somehow like screwed up my bum.
What?
Like to the point that I like fell out, had to fall out and call for help, fall out of the door and call for help from my friends.
Wow.
And they had to take me to like the A&E.
Your bum broke.
Broke my bum. I don't know what happened exactly.
Is it like when Simon Day's bum fell out at Explore?
No, different. Definitely different. Everything remained where, you know, inside. It was just some sort of weird pulling of a muscle or something.
Yeah.
So I, for one.
Like an athlete.
Exactly. Like a Portaloos athlete. I, for one, probably better off if the pumps are no longer needed.
I just like this new I, for one.
I, for one, and one for I.
For one. It's Janie's new original podcast coming.
Oh, my God. Should we talk about MK? Have you got any toilet news, Duncan? Have you got anything?
Let me have a think.
Oh, yeah. Again.
No, not really.
No, you're thinking about a little bit of a toilet story, but
I just don't
probably
think
not
it
worth
meets
sharing.
The very low bar for inclusion on the real part, which is really saying something, eh?
It's crazy.
Totally normal toilet week, everyone, for Duncan, so that's great. Well done.
Yep.
Congratulations. All right, let's do our great MKR recap.
I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
Reality check.
Is it a bad sign that going into talking about MKR is like possibly less interesting than talking about Portaloos pumps?
Damn, that's true.
It's just not the same drama and intrigue.
I think
funny moments.
Yeah, I think it's also knowing there's no Kitchen HQ. It's like it's nearly over. It's only just started and it's nearly all over. They don't go into the fancy kitchen.
But also we lost Nada and Pops, spoiler, who were
really
the,
skipped to the end there, didn't you?
I did. Unless you're
that's
Rico.
The real one.
but they were they had the most potential for chaos. And when you see them go, you're like, oh, this is sort of gonna be fine now. Like it's not really any drama.
But if you think about MKR, the like the Australian version where they do, I think, like two rounds of instant restaurants.
Oh, I can't
and
think about that.
You've never watched it?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they normally do two rounds of instant restaurants, so it goes on for bloody ages and there's heaps of drama. But actually, once they get into Kitchen HQ, it's not even really about the teams judging each other's food at all, so the drama kind of disappears anyway.
Are we assuming that this was shot in 2 weeks?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And like quite a long time ago as well, right?
Yeah.
Because
it was sunny.
I remember they shot for the upcoming episode where they have it at like a street feast restaurant that's up the road from my house. They were filming that the weekend Cyclone Gabriel hit.
Bloody hell.
Okay, so beginning of this year. That's the beginning of this year.
Yeah, January.
That was February.
Technically February, but yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Don't fact check him.
Ah!
You did as well.
You started it.
You said it first.
You report into Jane.
Oh my god. This is what a prank. Okay, back to MKR. It's do or die for Julia and Matthew for the last instant restaurant. We were, of course, at Botanical in the Bay of Plenty for Vicky and Pascal's delicious feast.
They have murdered all the food.
They sourced everything.
Like
everything. Tell us your pine nut fact.
Oh, well, assuming that doesn't make the cold open, which, you know, I don't want to start throwing my weight around.
I think us chucking in the podcast is the cold open, but anyway.
True. Okay. Well, the cold open, if we weren't throwing in the podcast, was that I went to a very fancy restaurant called Mapo in Littleton, which seats 6 people a night on Friday night. Crazy. Proper chef's table shit. And I was very overwhelmed with a lot of flavors. But the biggest thing I learned is that pine nuts come from pine cones.
That's fine.
Lucy Kelly is rolling her eyes right now.
I watched it happen before me very eyes. He cracked open one of the little, you know, side bits of the pine cone, and there was a juicy wee nut in there.
Did you eat the juicy wee nut?
I ate the juicy wee nut, and
direct from cone, or did you didn't get heated?
Didn't take it to the airline bathroom.
Straight to me. And apparently pine cones, if you leave them in the sun, even when they've been picked, they open out like a flower. Just like nature is crazy. I'm sorry. Maybe that's the new pod.
Yeah. As Casey finds out almost anything about nature.
I bring up your little pine nut fact because this is basically what happens at very fancy restaurants, and it's happening right here at Botanical, which, by the way, Nada doesn't understand why that's the name of their restaurant. She thinks that everyone's restaurant names up until this point have had real kind of connection and meaning to the people involved, and doesn't see how this relates to Vicky and Pascal, even though all they do is infuse all the botanicals from around their garden into the food. She's just
said botanicals like 7,000 times.
So many times. And even to this amazing theatrical, like, oh, got to grab some chilies right in front of you all so you can see me picking them and putting them into your meal. Could have done that earlier.
Do you think that there's any chance that Nada and Pops are deliberately finding fault with their opponents on account of not wanting to be the bottom?
They're not in the bottom, though. They can stop that.
I know, but it's become ingrained and become their personality.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true.
That's definitely what's happening.
What a property. I mean, they appeared to have a man-made lake or something out the front.
No one has needed this 100K less. Well, in fact, out of any of these.
Nada and Pops, I reckon, had a more of a baller estate. This was a bit more rustic.
Well, they ain't taking home the 100K.
No, that's true.
They've gone burgers. Maybe Vicky and Pascal want to put in a bougie new pizza oven or something. Maybe that's what they need the 100K for.
It's good after giving away 100K to all these worthy charities to get back to, you know, we've got a new government installed and we're back to giving money away to like rich-ass people.
Back on track.
She's got the colour-coded spreadsheet when they go to the supermarket. It's a far cry from everyone else's scribbled on the back of receipts type scenario. These are two very organised people, two designers. He's a landscape designer. She's an interior designer. I'm expecting big things from their restaurant.
I liked how it felt like Vicky, with the organisation and just her presence in the kitchen, seemed to get a lot of kudos for being the brains behind the operation. Because, you know, I feel like Pascal has kind of dominated any of their on-screen time at all. And it felt like Manu and Colin were really trying to, like, focus on Vicky and be like, Pascal's not doing anything. You're the best. I liked it.
I love Vicky and Pascal.
Yeah.
I really like them. I think there's been a rough edit or a rough representation. Nada and Pops, you're so right, Dunk. Totally the Vils.
Thank you for acknowledging me being right for once.
You're welcome.
I also liked that Vicky had a martini. Like, it's quite a punchy old drink to be cooking with.
I mean, Fastness just swaggers into the kitchen. Seems cut.
I mean, they already so seem cut, these two.
And he's like, what are you drinking? Just took the martini and like necked it. He is Captain Jack Sparrow.
He also had a moment, again, I'm going to flash forward to the next episode, but He had a moment with one of the newcomers.
Oh.
Which was fun.
I know. I have that written down too. Like,
this is R16 content.
He was flirting up a storm at the gate. Crushing.
Like, and almost caressing.
And teasing. Like, it was, like they playful teasing.
Wow. Yeah, they were like, something going on.
Was he, because this is his first time judging the New Zealand one, right? So those gate crashes are not people he knows from before.
My restaurant rules, correct?
I remember the truck through the chocolate crumb. That's all I remember from that show.
Right. The
husband and wife who tracked a lot like mum and son.
That's right, and he was the emo.
Yeah. I'm correct. I got something right.
Well, I don't think we said you were wrong. We said we can't remember.
How could you not remember him?
I don't know. All I was trying to say is that I wondered if that playful nature that he had with the gatecrasher was from being on the last season but I don't think they were.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
Anyway.
I didn't realise the gatecrashers meant gatecrashers forever. I thought it was just like here for the barbecue.
No, forever. They're in the competition.
I guess if they're returning, that's probably like a wow moment for anyone who's watched the show.
That was the thing. Is when they walked
really
in,
I was just like, hoops.
The mask comes off.
Okay, let's talk about the food. We're back at Botanical. There's a gin cured, not cured though, rainbow salmon, homemade gin. I don't know. What's curing? It's got to sit in something for ages.
It's got to be 24 hours is all we know.
Okay, so it's just salmon. They just need to not say cured. Just it's gin like salmon.
Infused.
Infused.
It was more infused what about than cured.
Drunk salmon.
Ooh.
That's quite cool, eh?
Yeah.
Homegrown beef from their cows. Some kawakawa creme brulee from their kawakawa. And some jelly shots. Gin jelly shots. They weren't really jelly shots. It was just jelly,
like jelly
globs.
Blocks.
Well, they were kind of more you know, in the end. And all looked pretty yum to me. Manu even wrote yum in his beetroot sauce after the appetizer, which I've never seen before. So these are first.
It's really great to hear, you know, high-profile chefs just say yum.
Yeah. Or even just get their finger in the beetroot and write it, you know.
That's true.
Just yum.
Not to keep going on about my elaborate dinner on Friday night, but I was in a tight spot because I was the only one eating vegetarian. And so I had like a special, you know, special edition meals and people keep asking me, how is it? Like, what are you tasting and stuff?
Did you
and
say
I was
yum?
So under the pump. I said yum 1,000 times. And then one lady asked me about my drink. She's like, how's it? And I was like, yum, you know, of course, yum. And then she's like, what can you taste florals? And I was like, yes.
Who was this woman asking you that? Not from the restaurant.
Not from the restaurant. Another patron.
She's trying to intimidate you.
Oh, God. Talking about food is really difficult.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Just food is yum. I mean, that sums it up.
Yum or it's yuck.
Yeah.
Get over it.
They should, like, all Manu and Colin need are, like, paddles with yum and yuck written on them.
Yeah.
And that be it. So Matthew and Julie are sitting at the bottom of the leaderboard. They're pretty much ready to go home at this point. They kind of need a disaster from Pascal and Vicky, which doesn't look like it's coming. Now, Nada and Pops, even though they're safe, they're critiquing things as if they were the bottom of the leaderboard. Matthew, however, really wants to find something wrong with this, but he can't. He's just like, it's yum, and he's too nice.
Well, he is until he comes to score it.
Yeah, well, that's always the way. That's the last ditch, isn't it?
But it's interesting because is there anything else to say? I feel like this was quite a boring episode. They just did quite well. There weren't any like full blown disasters. The beef was a bit dry.
I think their presentation was incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing looking.
Yeah.
There was like a weird moment from Nada or Pops when they were kind of speculating about the main and they were like, they said they could smell Asian flavours and one of them was like, oh, I hope
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they bring Kiwiana to it.
I know. Like, oh, God, and they were like, what's Kiwiana? Because I feel like maybe it's...
like the Foursquare guy? Yeah. A pair of jandals?
Dick Frizzell comes in carrying you.
Yeah.
Also, Pops was like, I think it was crap, which is quite a full-on thing to say.
Yeah.
It was so at odds with what the judges had to say as
of course.
Which made it even worse.
So they got 72, which actually put them reasonably high up. Second place equal was Curtin.
That's right. But when you think about it, so they got 2 5s, one of which was a self-interested score, and one of which is I'm a horrible person score. But the balance of the scoring was 7s. And there was nothing like a 5. You know, if you'd done the average from the judges, it would have been above that. So if they'd just been scored normally, like the first few players were, that they'd have got 76 and that would have been tops.
Doesn't matter because they're all safe except for Julia Matthew.
It's true, but it's the principal div. Did they win? I think they probably won on the overall package for 9.
Agree. Right, episode 2. We're heading, of course, now that the instant restaurants are done, we're heading to Kitchen H. No, we're going to the Viaduct. Love hearing Manu say Tamaki Makaurau. That was nice. And then when they were yelling out, Kia ora! To each other. That was
Kiora, Kiora, Kiora.
Oi, oi, oi.
I love Manu. Yeah.
I love them both.
But Manu seems to genuinely love being a judge on My Kitchen Rules. You know, like he's really relishing it. Colin, I feel like, is kind of, you know.
It's the gig economy for Colin, but
Manu totally.
Is
but
so
Manu
happy.
Just seems to really like, he gets in there with the contestants. He loves Nada and Pops. Like, almost too much.
Really? Well, did you get that? What did he say?
Well, they always flirt. You know, they were very flirty with Manu in particular.
Pops, right. Pops is like, absolutely love to climb that tree. Let's be honest.
But there's a big shake-up, as we alluded to earlier. Jess and Cindy, remember them? They're from season 4 and they're back as gatecrashers.
That was a whole episode, remember when Jess and Cindy, just like in that micro pause.
It was.
That's all we got.
Because the answer is no, we don't remember them. We didn't watch season 4 of MKR.
I didn't know there was one.
Neither. Yeah. I thought they did one season, one lonely season way back when. But
there was that great one where there was that guy who looked exactly like Johnny.
Oh,
Depp.
Yes.
So
was that the first season?
Oh, yeah. He was great.
That was like the third, I thought.
That was its peak when you were watching it and I was reading your recaps.
Anyway, Jess and Cindy, I think, made it right all the way to the final. They also won the People's Choice in a similar challenge in their season. So they're really excited to be here. That's how they talk in monotone, completely just like, yep.
Well, they're from the mid-lower South Island.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, where it says they're from is just South Island. Everyone else has got like specific areas, just South Island.
Botany Downs.
What's happening? They're all cooking. And I'm thinking, that is what they're here to do.
They're all
I'm
cooking.
I'm thinking, the heck here, sausages and bread. You know, Bunnings Barbie. Just fire up some sausage bread, bit of caramelised onion, and everyone's going to want that. It's what you want for barbecue.
Go for volume.
It did look yum. It did look yum. Is there anything about all the other ones? I've got to say, much as I'm a known hater of Nada and Pops, I admired the boldness of making the pulwa and lamb fritter. I was like, this is crazy.
That is totally crazy.
It was crazy.
You know, who's got the gall? And it's them.
I also think, did they do double seafood? They did.
Yeah, it was so, crayfood and crayfood.
Crayfood
and scallop.
We are qualified to be commentating on a food program.
We are limping to the line.
I mean, that's bold. There's a lot of people who can't or won't eat seafood. It's also, you know, underdone scullies. I'm like, that's food poisoning waiting to happen. No, thank you. You know,
I was surprised in a way because is it Matt and Kurt? They had, you know, like that. Both their dishes seemed pretty meh. You know, like
yeah, they should have been bottom two. I had down because
oh, those white bait fritters.
Yeah.
Nothing had salt on it. Are you going to vomit over the?
Just the very sound of white bait fritters.
I was waiting for Alex to start talking so that I could cough and not interrupt the audio of it all, but it never came. So
all I saw was the two of you looking really scared.
What's
going on? What is happening? I paused.
Well, Samuel's really sick and he wants us to talk about it, basically.
Yeah.
I want you guys to give me $50 each. Let's continue.
Okay.
Is that a new show?
Let's continue. Okay, so Matt and Kurt also did double down on the seafood.
Yeah.
But I suppose when you're at the viaduct, yeah, it's pretty, you know, people very bougie down there.
They are.
They like the seafood. But, yeah, no salt in any of those things. It was very obvious that Anya and Emily were going to be going through, that they were safe, because one of their dishes was Manu's dish of the day. So made no – there was no kind of tension when they got down to the final two and who was it going to be. Should have been Matt and Kurt down there.
Do you reckon they make – no, they must have bought their baguettes, right?
They definitely bought their baguettes. Yeah. They're definitely supermarket baguettes.
And they look
so when the judges are like, these are a little bit dry –
it's because we've all had a dry supermarket baguette before, haven't we?
I've very rarely had a wet one.
Clip that, dubstep remix.
Hey, how come we didn't get invited? How come we didn't get invited to this bloody thing or the celebrity dinner that they had next week?
It really wasn't that.
What bloody thing? The free food.
Yeah, I was just looking at yum yum, and then I was like, you know what? They could have just let us know what's happening. We could have just been members of the public. We didn't need any special VIP treatment. I'm just annoyed that I didn't get to go and eat all that yum food.
Yeah.
We just got to go to the viaduct more.
I mean, it was the only good, must have been the only good day of the summer of 22, 23 as well. How did that happen?
I don't know. Well, next time it's sunny, I'm going to the viaduct just in case.
I also, did you notice, I think some people were voting with their little tokens before they had eaten.
Yes.
Like, that's, I feel, true. Like some also, of the public did they didn't eat them understand.
All? Did they eat them all?
No, it's
I
not.
Don't,
yeah.
I don't think so. But I reckon, like bad system.
Part of it, though, is like the set, like what sounds good? What's going to sound good? You know what I mean? Like, you've got to attract people
don't
to your
defend
stand.
Them.
Okay, I have thoughts on the voting system. I think they needed to have boxes lined up at the end. Like, you couldn't vote until kind of like, until the whatever you call it, eating.
The end.
The end.
Shit. Is that Bernard on a scooter?
It's Bernard on a bike.
Oh, I thought it looked like
told
a scooter.
Him to wear a business shirt.
He wasn't even wearing a helmet.
Oh, my God.
This
That's
is
a
breaking.
Nightmare.
Potentially breaking.
He's got a fire shirt today.
Could you not see the bottom half? Why did you think it
was? Well, I saw handlebars. I couldn't see the bottom half. Okay. I don't even know what's going on down there, to be honest.
Oh, it's going to be really boring going back to my voting system suggestion. But anyway, boxes lined up and then little samples. Like, you know, you go into some restaurants and they have, you know, like street food thing. They've got like little examples of the dishes so that people can remember who did what and what they're voting for sitting out in front of the boxes.
Oh, God. So you want little like 3D recreations of the dish? Like,
just one of the dishes that are like, do not eat, don't touch.
Yeah.
For viewing only, you know?
Yeah, and maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
I think the public thought they were at like, you know when like intermediates do like a school market day and everyone's got their little beans that they use to buy stuff. Yes. I think the public thought that. They thought that was their money in this moment. And they were like, thank you for the whatever. Thank you for the white bat fritter. Here's my fake money.
Went it's away funny with it. Money.
And they were like, oh, no salt. You know, but I think it threw the votes.
I mean, at the end of the day, Vicky and Pascal won, which is probably fair.
Seemed apt.
They seemed like they did both, like both their dishes. The judges didn't really have anything bad to say about them.
It also seemed like they'd spent $1 million on ingredients, which is a bit of a hack.
It is. They will probably just kill their own cow.
Like, for example, that piece of tuna, I don't know how much – because there's some – is it like bluefin tuna or something that costs like $50,000 a kilo or something? It looked like it was that. It was so big and proper looking. You're like, how – that must have cost so much money. And so, it was weird not having the sort of context setting of the supermarket shop or any sense of any budgetary constraints. There's Bernard. He made it inside.
Yeah, he's got
on foot.
Bernard watch. I think he might be getting a cup of coffee.
Can confirm. Wow. Got pants on.
Chatting with Tina.
Okay, bluefin tuna, 1 kilogram. How much do you think?
Bluefin tuna, 1 kilogram, $2,000.
$45.90.
$45.90.
Yes.
What? Is that a John West can? Like,
no.
How much of the market, like fresh out of the ocean?
It's New Zealand Solander Gourmet Seafood. There you go. There's a plug. That's for free. You don't have to pay anything for that.
What's
Solander.
Is it yellowfin tuna? What's expensive tuna then?
It's been specifically selected to meet the sashimi grade. It's wonderful red pink colour. Rich in fat and melts in your mouth.
And does that look like what Vicky was using?
Oh, no.
Because even Colin was like stunned by it.
Look,
Okay, I'm going to type in prices, Jenny. You guys keep talking.
Okay.
I feel like you're right about the budget thing. It seems to make it really unfair. Because what if you were like, caviar, you know, like, I'll give everyone caviar wrapped in $20 for my barbecue.
I would argue that any of them could have bought that tuna if they wanted to.
I don't think they're not bringing
their own ingredients here. Like, you know, like the production's sourcing it for them. They tell them what they want to make and they go
get
it.
But I feel like in this economy, maybe the next evolution is, yeah, like we were saying, kind of eat well for less meets MKR. Like, I feel like it should be what can you do with $100 or, you know, $50, you know? I would like to see that. I was also thinking.
Ready, Steady, Cook, isn't it? Isn't Ready, Steady, Cook where they get given, bring it back.
Was that with Jason Graves?
Probably.
Okay.
So the bluefin tuna is variously described as the Ferrari of tuna or the Rolls Royce of tuna.
Which one is it?
These are really different cars, though they are both expensive. It says it's between $20 to $5,000 per pound, so that sort of scans with your $45.90. But in 2019, a Japanese sushi tycoon, that sounds like a cool guy, paid $3.1 million for a colossal bluefin tuna weighing 612 pounds, making it the world's most expensive tuna.
What's 612 pounds in kilograms? Wow.
It's about
277 kilograms, 0.599.
Yeah. So, look, it's a punch. I mean, I assume that's marketing. Anyway, whatever it was, it looked like a lot of money in tuna.
It did. What annoyed me, and I'd like to just put this forward for production for next season, not that it really matters at this point, but when I was going through trying to do my notes, there was no graphic of what the actual dish was that came up when they went through their judging process.
We need more graphics.
We need more graphics in general.
Bake Off style, you know, the sketch, the build the world.
The time, the money, the everything.
We have an update on the flowers as well.
What?
The floral situation. You know how last week Matthew Wenham whipped into the dairy, grabbed a bouquet of flowers, and then we tried to pull Brooke in to tell us about it, and she completely freaked out, didn't realise we were talking about something so completely inane.
She didn't completely freak out. She was just like, I've got an NDA and I'm not a person of honour.
I know, but I think she thought she was going to be put on the spot and we were going to ask her to reveal some state secrets about MKR, but we just wanted to know where the flowers were from. Because when I told her that, she was like, oh, I probably could have told you that. Anyway.
I admire Brooke.
I admire Brooke too. We did some sleuthing on the internet. We figured out the exact dairy where the flower exchange took place.
Did you say we?
Do you mean Matt McCauley?
Matthew McCauley.
Part of the McCauleys of the commercial department? Yes. One of the three?
Not related to the Brooke McCauley, who's the one we tried to pull in the studio. It's very confusing. But anyway, we found the dairy. Next to the dairy is a florist. Okay, so I was like, huh, okay. Arguably, Duncan's right that, you know, they have a relationship with the florist. But also, it means that the flowers didn't really come from... I thought they went to the florist and then planted them in the dairy, right? It was starting to get murky, and then it got really murky because a little more sleuthing, and we found out the florist and the dairy are two different storefronts, same place, same owners.
What?
So you can walk between the two behind the storefronts.
So you could pick up, I mean, I'm assuming you can pick up your milk from the florist, but you can certainly pick up your flowers from the dairy. So,
like a vape store.
It's a bit like, yes.
Where is this magical place?
How Wick.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what do I know?
So that's where that is. I don't really know who's right and who's wrong here. I think Duncan's.
I claim a points victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it doesn't happen often that I'm right on this program. There's a lot of tactical voting.
Yeah. You know? Okay. We'll
I
give
just
you
love
that.
It. It's like we've been. This takes up too much of our time, this podcast. How long did you spend, Jane, looking
see,
at
this
that dairy
is
floor
why.
In my
it was, there were multiple people.
They're bringing in
the
other
problem.
Work resources.
I know, this is exactly the problem and why it can't go on, because we are so committed to the work that we do here. The only way to not use all our time doing it is to just not do it.
And you also like found their house like in real life. And
oh, yeah, that was Anya and Emily. That was in my own time, to be fair. That was off the clock for that. It's just
yeah,
hobby.
But still, it's still part of your...
It is. It's always in my mind.
The heavy vibe.
Those bloody Rosties looked yum. Jess and Cindy did pretty well for their first time with the slot. Sorry, Samuel's...
We're going to wrap it up. Like,
he's pointing at his wrist.
Yeah.
And then pointing at the clock up there.
We're over time.
We're over time, apparently.
Anyway. Oh, okay.
Well,
I don't have anything good anyway. I was just going to say, I don't like when people say, pull your finger out.
Yeah. Because it means out of
it's
there.
It's a bit. Like, if you actually, you know, really think about it.
That is where they mean out from, don't they? It's out
well,
of your
where
butt.
Else could it possibly be?
But like, I think you're going too slow. Pull your finger out. How does that even – what's the
– well,
but is it like,
etymology?
What am I doing sitting around – you know, people say, well, not doing up much, sitting around my finger.
No, like, I don't
they
know.
They do say saying. That. They do say
people
that.
People say
though.
That.
And I think it is actually an abbreviation of that phrase. That's almost a whole podcast series as well. Where did we get that from and how can we accept this as a society?
There's a lot of that I have issue with. Anyway, we won't get it. We'll save it for the next iteration.
I am absolutely Googling pull finger after this because I want to know more. You've
true,
really piqued
and then
my interest.
Just pull finger. And then yeah. They get confused because it's like pull my finger. You know, like
it's all poo
it's
related.
Crazy.
It's all poo and bum related.
It's all bum stuff at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's the tagline for this podcast.
Oh.
It's all bum stuff at the end of the day. It's true.
Well, it's the end of the day now.
It is the end of the day.
And in Christchurch, it's the end of the day.
In Christchurch, the sun is actually setting right now.
Hey, we've got celebrity guests. We've got celebrity guests joining. Not here. Duncan's looking like, what the fuck?
No. Bernard Hickey.
No, wherever the restaurant is in my MKR next week. There's the lady from Shortland Street. Siobhan Rokeri's there. Alex King. Some others. We see Alex King licking her plate.
Waverley.
Waverley, did you say?
Waverley, yeah. Waverley.
Wow. All the great ladies. Anyway, so join us for that. We'll be there. We'll be excited to talk about it. Yep.
Yeah.
That is our podcast.
Again.
Again.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.